We have two scripture lessons this morning. The Old Testament scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign in your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The New Testament scripture lesson is from John, Gospel of John, the fourth chapter, verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Words from our Holy Scripture. It was about 55 years ago, some of you won't remember that, that the Soviet cosmonauts began orbiting the Earth. And one of the fellows looked out his window one day, out his spacecraft window, and said, "There's no sign of God out here." And that really annoyed a lot of people. I don't know how many people remember that. Remember the astronaut, the cosmonaut saying that? Yeah, a couple of raised hands. Yeah. I was a very young person. A lot of people were very annoyed by that cosmonaut. Particularly people who had images of God as a kind of an old guy with a long white beard and white robes and hanging out of a big white castle up there somewhere in the sky, they got really mad. Even those who weren't too sure where God was or what God was all about were kind of annoyed. It was something that was said by those godless communists as a kind of affirmation that their system, which is essentially atheistic, their system of unbelief, was absolutely correct. There's no God up here. End of the story. And it was, and they also said it as a chance to annoy all those other people who are non-communists, I'm sure. And that worked for a while. It did work. There was a lot of newspaper covers over it, radio, television about it. They were pretty angry with those people. And then eventually we all went on with our own business. And those who bought into the big guy, the white beard, the white castle in the sky, just said, "Those darn commies, they wouldn't know God if they fell over him. He's probably not looking in the right direction anyway." Or maybe they saw him and they just didn't say so. But, you know, it's a shame that they were so annoying, because it gave us something to think about, doesn't it? If God isn't the guy in the robes up there, who or what is God, and where can God be found in our day-to-day lives? It's something to think about. A number of years ago, at a cottage up in northern Ontario, I felt it would be a wonderful experience to feel the presence of God on a lovely, quiet evening by the water. So I went out on the dock and I sat down, expecting to commune with God. What a perfect opportunity to commune with God. And I was promptly swarmed by thousands of mosquitoes, swirling, buzzing, biting all around me. And I ran for my life back inside the cottage. God, I understood, was not going to be available tonight. The next day, at the cottage, it was a day of brilliant sunshine. It was an amazing day. You know how the sun shining on the water makes sparkles like a million stars. It was that kind of a day. This is the time I felt surely that I'm going to feel the presence of God. So I ventured out onto the dock one more time, and within a minute the deer flies came buzzing. I don't know if you know deer flies, but they're nasty little creatures, stealth little bombers that can sever a limb if you don't watch out for them. Maybe a little exaggeration, but they're nasty little creatures. So I spent the day waving my hands over my head trying to keep the deer flies away. And what's apparently to a deer fly, waving your hands over your head means let's play. So once again, there was no communing with God could take place at that time. So the communing with God at the cottage was just didn't happen. So I went home a bit disappointed. And a few days later, sitting on my front porch, I saw a mother and her little daughter were wandering by, neighbors of ours, and the little girl was very tired, and it was a very, very hot day, and she wasn't going to make it any further. And I saw the mom pick her up and said, "It's time for a lemonade." And the little girl's smile lit up the neighborhood. And it dawned on me that, and I felt that God was in that moment. That little moment between the mother and the daughter. Because that was a moment of love and a moment of caring. And it just washed over me. It washed over the whole neighborhood. I think my mistake at the cottage was thinking that God could be ordered up like a basket of fish and chips. That God was basically working for me, and I could tell this God when and where to meet me and what to offer me when he did meet me. That's the problem, isn't it, with making God into a kind of a humanoid, a human character. You expect God to act like a human being. I often talk about God as Father, God as Mother. And you know, that works for some people. But if your father or mother had a negative influence on you, might have been critical, hypercritical, might have even psychologically or physically abusive, then thinking about God as mother or father is not going to work for you. So what do we need to think about God? In the scripture says God is spirit, and we're called to worship God in spirit and in truth. The spirit we're called to see is the spirit of love, of hope, of kindness, of caring. That's the spirit. That's the calling. That's the divine that's in us and around us. That's why the woman and her daughter, that little moment, was so divine. Loving, caring, kindness doesn't have to be a huge thing. It's a beautiful little moment where you could meet our God. We don't order up the divine spirit. It's there always in us and around us, challenging us to be loving, kind, and caring people who reach out to the world around us with the power of hope that cuts through the negatives of life and finds the positives. The love that turns death into genuine life. There are a lot of negatives out there. War, famine, you can, long as my arm or longer than my arm. Lots of negatives out there. War, famine, racism, bigotry, homelessness, helplessness. The call is to feel the spirit of love, hope, kindness, and caring, and bring that divine power to all the negatives of life. It's a tough thing to do sometimes. The list of negatives gets pretty long, but it's the call. It's what we're called to do. So, I don't think that God is out there floating around in outer space anywhere, with the white beard and the robes and so on. The cosmonaut was probably right about that. But God is in the heart and in the mind. And that's where it matters the most. God is spirit, the scripture says, and we're called to worship God in spirit and in truth. That worship means going out those doors with what we used to say is a fire in our bellies to bring change, bring life to a world that knows too much death, too much pain. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. It's around us. It's in us. It's everywhere. Amen, amen.